Philippians chapter 1 finds the Apostle Paul incarcerated in a prison cell. But the lovely thing about it all is he says that he has not lost his hope or his confidence or his assurance. In verse 20, he speaks about his earnest expectation and hope. Paul the Apostle was an optimist. And it's so important in these days to be optimistic as we survey the world before us. It's easy to be pessimistic. It's easy to always look at things negatively. And it's easy to be cast down, and it's easy for us to despair, and it's easy for us to give up hope. But we think here about the Apostle Paul, and he's in a prison cell. He's chained to a prison guard. He's facing imminent martyrdom every single day. He's not enjoying any level, really, of comfort. He doesn't have any Christian fellowship or companions with him. But at the same time, he's possessed of a hope that is steadfast and sure. You see, Paul believes that ultimately God will come and God will deliver him. He says in verse number 19, "This shall turn to my salvation." And by the word salvation there, he's speaking about deliverance. He knows that God will deliver me from this present predicament and situation. It might be by opening the doors of the prison cell and allowing me to go free. It might be by calling me home to be with Himself. But I know that ultimately, Paul says, I will be saved and delivered and brought out of my present situation. And as well as that, he knows that the church at Philippi is praying for him. And he knows that God will answer their prayers. I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer. And he acknowledges that he covets the prayers of God's people. He has indicated earlier on in the chapter, I am praying for you. And he's sure and certain that they're praying for him as well. We need to pray for each other in these days in which we're living. And if you have anything that you want to be prayed for, make that known to a brother or sister in Christ or speak to me about it. But I covet your prayers as well. Paul knows that the Philippians are praying for him, and he also has the confidence and assurance that the Holy Spirit will aid him and see him through. Because at the end of verse 19, he talks about the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And so his sufficiency is of God. And even there in the prison cell, he's living a Spirit-filled life. And it's so important for us to endeavor to be filled with the Spirit of God wherever we're found, in the home, in the workplace, in the school, in the university campus, in the neighborhood, wherever we're found day by day, we need to realize and draw upon the supply and the continual infilling of the Spirit of the living God. But come what may, whether Paul is released from prison or whether the Lord calls him home, he is resolved that come what may, he is going to glorify and magnify the Savior. This is man's chief end. This is our primary purpose as Christian people, to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Notice what Paul says in the second half of verse number 20. Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. He is resolved as well that I shall not be ashamed. I'm not going to bring shame to the name of my Savior here in the prison cell. And I'm certainly not going to bring shame to the name of my Savior as I live life on earth. And whenever the Lord comes back again, I don't want to be ashamed, but rather I'm purposing in my life just now that I am going to bring glory and honor and praise to my Savior. And I'm going to use my body to do that. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 that you are not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Sometimes we fall short and we understand and believe that on the cross the Lord died to redeem our souls and purchase our salvation. But He also died to redeem the body. And Paul realized that his body is no longer his own. His body primarily belongs to the Savior. And that's why he said in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 that the believer's body needs to be willingly surrendered and yielded up to the Lord. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 10, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. So Paul realizes, my body's not my own. My body is surrendered absolutely, unreservedly to the Lord, and I want Jesus Christ to be manifested and seen through my body. And I don't want to die ashamed that I've withheld so much from the Lord. John says, and now, little children, abide in Him, that whenever He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. What an awful thing to stand at the judgment seat of Christ and to hang our heads in shame that we didn't magnify Christ in our bodies. We have one purpose on earth, and it's to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. The primary reason why the Lord saved us is that we might live to His glory and magnify the Lord in our bodies. Maybe you say, well, how can we magnify Jesus Christ, who is full of glory and full of majesty and separate from sinners and holy and harmless and undefiled and higher than the heavens, and His glory fills the third heaven? How could we magnify one who is already magnified in a way that we can never even understand or comprehend? It's a little bit like looking at a star through a telescope, through a large and powerful telescope. The telescope does not change the nature or the character or the brightness or the glory of the star. But as far as the person looking through the lens of the telescope is concerned, it brings that star closer. And that's the purpose of the Christian. We cannot make Jesus Christ any more wonderful or glorious than He already is. But as we live to His glory on this earth and use our bodies to magnify Him, we under God can bring Him closer to a people who cannot see Him at all. And that's our calling as Christian people. And that's what Paul says, but that Christ might be magnified in my body. I want to speak for a little while this morning upon magnifying Christ, or the believer's body, an instrument to magnify the Savior. I've got 7 very quick and simple points, and I just want to leave them quickly with you as we just take this verse and be divided up word by word and clause by clause. First of all, we are to magnify Him plainly. Look at what Paul says, but that, listen, with all boldness Christ shall be magnified in my body. With all boldness, he says, I am going to magnify Christ plainly. I'm not going to be timid about it. I'm not going to be shy about it. I'm not going to be apologetic about it. Now, he's not going to be brash or proud or arrogant or coarse or obnoxious about it, but plainly and openly and boldly, Paul says, I'm going to live for Jesus Christ with all boldness. I've got nothing to be ashamed about. I've got nothing to apologize for. My Savior is the creator of the ends of the earth, King of kings and Lord of lords, and he wasn't ashamed to die on a cross for my sins. And therefore I'm not going to be ashamed of him. I'm going to take up the cross. I'm going to die daily. And I am going to boldly use my body in life or in death to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what the Lord called us to do. He says, take up the cross. And whenever somebody in Jerusalem was bearing a cross, it was something that people could see. It was something that was open. It wasn't something that was hidden. People should know whether or not we are Christians. Sometimes the question is asked about maybe a certain individual. Is he saved or is she saved? And sometimes I think whenever the question is asked, it immediately raises a problem. Because the Bible says men do not light a candle and hide it under a bushel, but they light a candle and they set it upon a lampstand. And it's the Lord that lights a person and sets them on a rock and puts a new song in their mouth. And if the question has to be asked, are they really saved? Sometimes, maybe that highlights a problem. Because if we were really magnifying Jesus Christ in our bodies, and we had really a divine encounter with Jesus Christ, that therefore should be seen. Somebody once said, if you are in Christ and Christ is in you, then the world should see nothing else. The Christian is to magnify Christ plainly. The Christian is to magnify Christ perpetually. Look at the text again. But that with all boldness, as always, Christ shall be magnified in my body. We sang the words of that great hymn a few moments ago. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. The last verse, hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit till all shall see Christ only, Christ always, living in me. It is relatively easy to be spiritual for a couple of hours on a Sunday. Or it's relatively easy to be spiritual for a couple of hours in a prayer meeting. But the acid test of real Christianity and sanctification is consistency. Now the reality is that we all fall short, and I certainly know that I do. But the aim and the desire of the Christian should be to magnify the Lord at all times. Whether it's in a worship service like this, whether it's in the home, which is maybe one of the most difficult places to be consistent in our Christian living, or in the workplace, or wherever the Lord has put us. C.H. Spurgeon said, periodical godliness is perpetual hypocrisy. Periodical godliness is perpetual hypocrisy. Robert Murray McShane said, it is not great talents that God blesses so much as great likeness to Jesus Christ. And there is something about a life that is plainly and perpetually lived to the glory of God that is a wonderful testimony. It's not about great preaching, it's not about eloquence, it's not about gifts and talents, but you get a person in the home, in the workplace, in the secret place, in the public place, wherever you find them, if you catch them unawares and they're living for God, whether people see them or not, that is something that is a wonderful, wonderful testimony. Paul says, I'm going to magnify him plainly. I'm going to magnify him perpetually. I'm going to magnify him presently. Look at the next words. But that with all boldness, as always, so now also. Paul's in a prison cell. The church at Philippi have been discouraged by that, but Paul's writing to encourage them. Listen, don't worry about it. I can magnify the Lord Jesus Christ as much in a prison cell as I can standing on a street corner preaching to multitudes of people or in a temple somewhere or in a synagogue somewhere else. Even now, in this prison cell, doesn't matter where I am or how I am, so long as I can magnify Christ in my body, I want to magnify Him now. John said in 1 John 3 verse 2, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." And there's coming a day whenever the believer is going to see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face, and in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we shall all be changed, and we shall put on incorruption and immortality, and we shall be made like Him. But Christ's likeness should begin the moment that we're converted. Now are we the sons of God. And yes, there's a greater day coming whenever we will be conformed perfectly. But that conformity should begin the moment that we're converted. And Paul says for him, "I want to presently, just where I am now, to magnify Christ in my body." Where are you now? That's the important thing. It's wonderful to be able to look back and say, "I've been saved, I've got a date in my Bible, I was there that when it happened, and oh, I plan to be in heaven someday," but those are wonderful things. But where are you now? What am I now as a Christian? Take yesterday, for example. Did you magnify Him yesterday? Are you magnifying Christ presently in your day-to-day living? Sanctification is a living more and more unto righteousness, and the dying more and more unto sin. And the lovely thing about Paul here in Philippians chapter 1, he didn't have much dying to do. He had so died to this world and to the opinions of men that he didn't really care what people thought, as long as they knew that he was seeking to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. Andrew Murray, the South African holiness preacher, said, "Conformity to the world can be overcome by nothing but by conformity to Jesus Christ." If we're going to overcome the world, we must be conformed to Jesus Christ. And isn't that what the Apostle Paul said? "Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Paul says, "I want to magnify Him plainly, perpetually, presently, positively." Look at what he says. "With all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body." This is something that Paul is seeking to affirm. I am going to live to the glory of God in this prison cell. And if I get released, I'm going to live to the glory of God outside these walls. And if I die, I'm going to die to the glory of God. And this is something that Paul is affirming. I am going, by the grace of God, by the supply of the Spirit, by your prayers and all the help that God gives me, I'm going to use this body to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to do this. I am not my own. I do not belong to myself. I have to relinquish all prior claims. I am redeemed. I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. I give up all prior claim, and I purpose now to use my body and all that I have and all that I can do to magnify Him. What a high plane the Apostle Paul was living on spiritually. Positively, I'm going to do this. Thomas Brooks, an old Puritan, said, "A Christian should be nothing but a visible representation of Christ." That's really what the word Christian means. It means Christ's ones, or small or little Christs. People that in some way point others to the Savior and testify of Him. The Reverend William Patterson Nicholson, WP, is buried in Clandeboy Cemetery in Bangor, in the County Down, And the text on his headstone is John chapter 3 and verse 30. He must increase. I must decrease. Taken from the words of John the Baptist. And John the Baptist is saying, this is something I must do. I must decrease. And this is something that must happen in my life. Christ must increase. It's not about me. It's not about Paul. It's not about William Patterson Nicholson. It's not about John the Baptist. It's about Christ. And Paul says, this is something that I'm going to see to it that it happens. Christ magnified in his body, plainly, perpetually, presently, positively, personally. Christ shall be magnified in my body. You know, in the Christian church, there's a lot of pointing the finger at everybody else. What's he doing? What's she doing? Well, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't go down that road, and I'm glad I'm not like him, and they should be doing this, and they should be doing that. And what are they doing? Maybe I should follow them or take my example from him or her or some other person. Paul says, listen, I'm in a prison cell here. And the only people that I really get to meet on a day-to-day basis are prison officers and other prisoners. And I need to see to it that Christ is magnified in my body by me personally. And it's not at this moment in time about everybody else and what's everybody else doing. This is about me, about my body, about my life, about the body that God has given me, the body that God has redeemed. It's about my lips, my hands, my feet, my countenance, my actions, my body, my life, the life, the only life that I'm going to give an account for. It's about me. Forget about the church for a moment or two. And forget about other Christians. What about your life? What about your body? What about your testimony? What about your walk with God? What about my body, my life? John MacArthur said, the goal of sanctification is to be conformed to Christ's image, not to be self-satisfied. And so often we are more concerned about our own comfort, our own happiness, our own self-gratification than we are about our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul doesn't talk here about, I wish I was more comfortable. I wish I had a nice warm bed. I wish I had a television. I wish I could just go onto Facebook or get onto the internet. He wouldn't have been concerned about any of those things. All he's concerned about is that presently, right now, that my Savior might be magnified in my body by me personally. A sculptor once, out of stone, sculpted this great image of a lion. It was a masterpiece, a work of art. And somebody said to him as they looked at this great sculpture of this lion, how did you do that? You know what he said? I just chipped away everything that didn't look like a lion. And if we want to be like the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to be continually chipping away at everything in our life that doesn't look like Jesus Christ. That's what Paul was doing. My body. Personal thing. We are to magnify him practically. Look again at what Paul says. With all boldness, as always, so now also, Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life. Whether it be by life. I want to magnify him in my body, practically in my life. Not just by the things that I say. Not just so people say, Paul, you're a great theologian. Paul, your doctrine's as straight as a gun barrel. Paul, you've got all these wonderful distinctives. Boy, Paul, you're bold, and so on and so forth. Paul says, no, I want my life. Everything that I do, everything that I am, everything that I have or ever hope to be, I want it all to glorify and to magnify the Savior, not just in spiritual exercises. You know, sometimes we have the mentality, and it's so easy, even as a preacher, to think, well, you know, preach the gospel on Sunday, therefore, doesn't matter about Monday or some other time, as long as whenever we're in active service, and we've got the uniform on, and we're wearing the denominational tag, that we glorify the Lord then. But Paul says, it's not about service here for a few hours at different times during the week. It's the whole life. Magnified in my body, in my life. You know, you can have your doctrine as straight as a gun barrel, but just as dark, just as hard, just as cold, and just as empty. It's about how we're living, you see. Doctrine's important. Our denominational distinctives, if they're biblical, they're important. But far more important is a life that glorifies Christ in our bodies. Duncan Campbell talked about the great revival in the Isles of Lewis and Harris, the Outer Hebrides. And he related the story that a woman told about this farmer that lived in her community, an aged man. And as she was going to visit that home, she watched this farmer in his overalls, and he was carrying a churn of milk across the farmyard on his own. And you know what she said? As I looked at that old man, you know what I saw? I saw God stead in dungarees. I saw God clothed in overalls. Something about the way he conducted himself, even in carrying out the most menial of tasks, was a testimony of God's grace in his life. Remember, the Lord said to his disciples on one occasion to go to a certain place, and there you would find a man carrying a pitcher of water, and he'll take you to the upper room. And I don't know if they entered into conversation with us, with him, and said, show us the way. I think whenever they went that place and they saw the man with the pitcher of water, that they just followed after him and they kept their eye on him. And he led them to the place where the Lord wanted them to be. Without having to say too much or do anything out of the ordinary, just by carrying a pitcher of water, he was able to guide disciples into the center of the will of God for their lives. Christ was being magnified in his body as he carried out the most mundane of tasks. The Apostle Peter said, we are to follow in his steps. Christ magnified in our bodies, plainly, with all boldness, perpetually, always, presently, so also now, positively, shall be, personally, in my body, practically, whether by life. But then Paul also says, I want Christ to be magnified in my body permanently. Because he says at the end of the text, whether it be by life or by death. Christian people don't have to die a martyr's death to glorify God in death. In the work that I do and the work that some of you do, you've sat at the bedside of loved ones, Christian people. And even in their death, they have brought honor and glory to Jesus Christ. Maybe amongst nursing staff that have no knowledge of the gospel, and there's maybe a Bible in the cabinet at the bedside, they've maybe watched that man or woman bow their heads in prayer and give thanks for the food that they receive. They have said please and thank you, and they have been courteous to the staff. They have maybe taken opportunity to witness, and they have died well. You see, in John 21, verse 19, the Lord, speaking about Peter, spoke about what death he should die to the glory of God. Stephen, whenever he was being martyred, and the stones were being thrown at him, he says, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. He says, I see the heavens open, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he says, receive my spirit. He died to the glory of God. So did the Apostle Paul. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. The time of my departure at hand. I'm now ready to be offered. And he died to the glory of God. I heard the story years ago about two Moravian missionaries. They were going off to some islands in the Indian Ocean to serve their Savior. The islands were slave islands. And the only way they could get onto the islands was to willingly sign themselves up to a life of slavery that might only last a few months before they would die. And they knew that as soon as they signed in the dotted line, it was goodbye to home, it was goodbye to parents, it was goodbye to everything that they knew and loved. But they did it. And as the boat that they got onto was about to go down the Rhine River in Germany, and their friends stood at the side of the river and wept and cried like babies, one of the Moravian missionaries turned around and lifted up his hand and said, "May the Lamb, in the midst of the throne, receive all the glory due his sacrifice on Calvary's cross." And they left down a testimony that would magnify the Lord Jesus Christ permanently as they died to the glory of God. Read in the book of Revelation that God's people will magnify him forever. But it must begin here on earth now. Will you give God your body? Not just your sin. And not just your soul. But your body. To be an instrument to glorify the Savior. Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. 480 is the hymn. We're going to stand together to sing it.